Today's auspicious day, Prabhupada's day, where he took sannyas, which was a great change in his life, but actually his consciousness was already on sannyas, even before 1959. If you've read the poem called Vrindavan Bhajans, you can see revealing, Prabhupada was revealing his mind, what he was meditating on while in Vrindavan. And this follows the sannyasi feeling when one takes sannyas. I had the same feeling. I was 22. When I took sannyas, I felt, oh no, I can't talk to my mother, can't talk to my sister. I'm socially dead person. And Prabhupada says that here. This is written in 1958, and he says, Prabhupada, quote, this is quote, I am sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I am getting many realizations. Prabhupada said that's what Vrindavan is for. It's for reflecting and meditations on one's positions in life. Because in Vrindavan, you prepare for your next eternal life. So Prabhupada says, I have my wife, my sons, my daughters, my grandsons, everything. But I have no money. So they are a fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. This is 1958, before his sannyas. Yasam anugranami hari se tadanam sanahaha. I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand this mercy of the All-Merciful? When somebody takes away all your material wealth, you ask the question, how can I understand this? You see, in those days, if you were sannyas, you were considered to be beggar class, mendicant class. Even today we see sometimes the ashrams, they feed the sannyasis. They're sitting on the ground with their metal plates. Some of them have beedis in their mouth, and they're waiting to get their prasadam. So Prabhupada, he didn't want to become one of those sannyasis. You see, he had so many previous transcendental designations confirmed on him before he took sannyas. In 1939, he was awarded, first of all, 1935, he was giving the, he offered his Vyas Puja poem, Adore Ye All, you all know the poem, in 1935. And Bhaktisiddhanta was very pleased with that poem because it revealed the mind of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When a disciple knows the mind of the guru, he gets the most blessings. You see, this happened with Rupa Goswami when he quoted a verse which revealed the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down in ecstasy because he knew, Rupa Goswami knew what I was thinking, what my mind was. So Prabhupada also achieved that with his Guru Maharaj. He knew the mind of his Guru Maharaj and therefore got great blessings. After he wrote that poem, he received the transcendental designation by all his god brothers as the poet. Now, if you read in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, the 26 qualifications of a pure devotee are mentioned there. And Krishnadas Kaviraj says of all the 26 qualifications of a pure devotee, the most important one is to be a poet. So Prabhupada achieved that great designation, transcendental designation, in 1935. In 1939, he got the designation by his god brothers. If you can see it, what does that say? How did he sign his name? Alias Abhay Charanavinda Bhakti Siddhanta Das Adhikari. He was conferred that title. Nobody else in the Gaudiya Math was conferred that title as Bhakti Siddhanta. The reason why is because Bhakti Siddhanta was very much encouraged by those who could preach in English to the English oppressors. At that time, India was being oppressed by the British. So to preach to the English oppressors, whose philosophy was what? Your Vedic civilization is subhuman, and we will make you human by introducing British culture, meat eating, tea drinking, and whiskey drinking, and chicken. Prabhupada said before Vivekananda, there was no chicken eating in India, in Bengal. Maybe they ate the eggs, but they didn't eat the chicken. That was brought by Vivekananda, who became, he didn't convert anybody, he became converted to Western life. So, Prabhupada, he got this designation because he could preach expertly against the British version of what religion is, that the Vedic culture is subhuman and animalistic, where in real life the British system is animalistic. So Bhaktisiddhanta, there were very few, you can count them on your hand, who could preach in the English language. And out of all of them, Prabhupada was the most eloquent in writing and speaking in English on the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, his godbrothers, he didn't take the name, his godbrothers conferred that title. Now, there was a little politics over that, because people thought, oh, how could he be called Bhaktisiddhanta Das Adhikari? That's, you know, you can't do that. He would be the only one. He's a grihastha. Prabhupada says I was pukka grihastha. So they changed the designation to Bhaktivedanta in 1939. So he became Bhaktivedanta Abhay Charan, Bhaktivedanta Das Adhikari. You see? So that's another designation. There are many other designations other than sannyas. Sannyas was simply a formal designation. Sannyas is a material designation that exists in the material world. It means one who is the spiritual master of all the Varna ashramas. But Prabhupada had many transcendental designations. You see. And the proof of it, I will play you a small audio cut. He was Mahabhagwat. Who knows the definitions of a Mahabhagwat? Can somebody say the definition of Mahabhagwat? Yes. Yeah, he doesn't consider any of his disciples as his devotees, but as representatives of his Guru Maharaj. That's the definition Prabhupada says is of a Mahabhagwat. So Prabhupada, he was Mahabhagwat. He was Shaktash Avatar. Who says he was? Well, Prabhupada said it. It's in the folio. The meaning, who knows the meaning of Prabhupada? Go ahead. No. That's not what Prabhupada said. We said it in the class. You didn't listen. I showed you where Prabhupada said Prabhu means, and Pada means, one who takes the place of God. Prabhupada, one who takes the place of God. And then he quoted from Guru Sharks to come. That verse where one is, the spiritual master is treated as good as a personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada, he had that transcendental designation of being Prabhupada. None of the other Gaudiya Math people ever took the name of Prabhupada, because they didn't come to the qualifications of Prabhupada. Then another transcendental designation Srila Prabhupada received is in Bhagavad Gita, which was written 5,000 years ago, his appearance, as well as the appearance of Bhaktisiddhanta, is predicted by Krishna. If you have Bhagavad Gita, you read chapter 6, verse 42. And you will see that Prabhupada is predicted, his appearance is predicted 5,000 years ago. Then there were other scholars who accepted Srila Prabhupada as the incarnation for Veda Vyas, for Chaitanya philosophy. People were saying, and this is in a conversation with Jai Bhattacharya and myself in Mayapur, where people were saying, scholars were saying that he's the incarnation of Veda Vyas for Chaitanya philosophy. And then in a letter to Gopal Krishna, Prabhupada said, yes, people have said that I am the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So look at all these transcendental designations. And today we're celebrating Prabhupada's sannyas, but he was a million times more than sannyas. It is even stated 500 years ago by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the reason why he didn't go to the West to preach Krishna conscious, because I left this service for Prabhupada. I have the quote for that, you know. It's on a morning walk.
He left the credit for me. He loves his devotee more than himself.
The question was, why didn't Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to preach in the West, why didn't he go there himself? So Prabhupada said, because he left the credit for me. So that means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved that preaching for Prabhupada for 500 years later. That's another transcendental designation that Prabhupada had. There are so many transcendental designation, and today we're celebrating simply his sannyas, but we should keep in our brains all the other transcendental designations that make Prabhupada apart from any sannyasi in any sampradaya in this universe. Why? Because he crossed the ocean to preach north, west, south, and east, and west. I call him the Narada Muni of the earth planet, because Narada Muni preached all over the universe. Prabhupada preached 14 times around the planet. He made a belt. He said, I wanted a belt made, you know, like a belt you wear. A belt around the planet of Krishna conscious temples. And he did that. He succeeded in that by empowering many devotees to do certain specific preaching. In Eastern Europe, Russia, South America, Tehran, Pakistan, we did a little preaching. And then Africa, and then Asia, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Japan. So there was a perfect belt around the globe before Prabhupada left the planet of Krishna conscious. You see. So to get back to Prabhupada's realization, verse 2, everyone has abandoned me, seeing me as penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. Prabhupada laughed. I mean, ordinary people who lose everything don't laugh. They commit suicide. But Prabhupada, being on the transcendental level, he laughed. I sit alone and laugh, he said. In this Maya samsara, whom do I really love? Where have all my loving father and mother gone to now? And where are all my elders, who were my own folk? Who will give me news of them and tell me who? All that is left of this family life is a simple list of names. Just see the realization Prabhupada had just sitting in Vrindavan. Like the froth on the sea, Water mixes again in the sea. Maya samsara play is just like that. No one is mother or father or personal relative. Just like the sea foam, they remain but a short time. Just as the frost on the seawater mixes again in the sea, the body made of five elements meets the destruction. How many bodies does the embodied soul take in this way? His relatives are all simply related to this temporal body. Anyway, that it was the sum and total of that. There's a lot more verses. But I wanted to show you that Prabhupada was already a sannyasi before he formally took sannyas from Keshav Maharaj. But actually, Prabhupada says it wasn't just Keshav Maharaj, it was on the order of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Keshav Maharaj was the instrument. In fact, when Prabhupada took sannyas in 1959, in the Gaudiya Patrika published by Keshav Maharaj, it says, on the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Abhay Charan Bhaktivedanta has taken sannyas. It doesn't mention Keshav Maharaj. He was but an instrument. This is stated in these.
My business of Krishna, my business also is not going very well. Krishna says, Sahun Gildani Hrishita Dhanamsan. If somebody wants to be actually devotee of Krishna, at the same time keeps his material attachment, then Krishna's business is, he takes away everything material so that same person he becomes, dependent on Krishna. So that actually happened to my life. I was obliged to come to this movement to take up this very seriously. And I was dreaming that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is calling me. Please come out with me. So I was sometimes horrified. Or in this, I have to give up my family life. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is calling me. I have to take sannyas. Oh, I was horrified. But I saw similar time calling. Anyway, it is by His grace I was forced to give up my family life and so-called business life. And He brought me somewhere or other in preaching His gospel. So, this is a memorable day. What He deserved, I am trying little bit, and you are all helping me. So I have to thank you more. You are actually representative of my Guru Maharaj. Because you are helping me in executing the order of my Guru Maharaj. Thank you.
Prabhupada went into samadhi just by mentioning, as a Mahabhagavat does, that we're representatives of His Guru Maharaj. So there's another small clip about Prabhupada taking sannyas and how he felt.
One has to accept the renounced order from another person who is in renounced order. So, I never thought that I shall accept this renounced order of life. In my family life, when I was in the midst of my wife and children, sometimes I was dreaming my spiritual master that he is calling and I was falling. When my dream was over, I was thinking, I was little horrified. Oh, Guru Maharaj wants me to become sannyasi. How can I accept sannyas? At that time, I was feeling not very satisfaction that I have to give up my family and have to become a mendicant. At that time, it was a horrible thing. Sometimes I was thinking, no, I cannot take sannyas. But again, I saw the same thing. So in this way, I was fortunate. My Maharaj pulled me out from this material life. I am not lost anything. You are so kind of me. I have gained. I left 3 children. I have got now 300. So I am not losing. This is material consumption. We think that we shall be loser by accepting Krishna. Nobody is loser. I say from my practical experience, I was thinking that how can I accept this renounced order of life? Well, I cannot accept so much trouble. So, but I died in my family life. I was sitting alone in Vrindavan, writing books. So this, my god brother, he insisted, Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, this title was given in my family life. It was offered to me by the Vaishnava Society. So he insisted me. Not he insisted me, practically my spiritual master insisted me, through him, that you accept. Because without accepting the renounced order of life, nobody can become a preacher. So he wanted me to become a preacher. So he forced me through this god brother, you accept. So unwillingly I accept. And then I remembered that he wanted me to go to the Western country. So I am feeling now very much obliged to my this god brother that he carried out the wish of my spiritual master and enforced me to accept this sannyas.
So these are two little excerpts about Prabhupada taking sannyas. Now, we're going to talk about whether, because there's controversy about sannyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, especially coming from Radhakund, that this is not bona fide. But here's a quote from Chaitanya-caritamrita. In the sect of Lord Chaitanya, the most venerable learned scholar known as Gadadhar Pandit Goswami accepted this Tridandi Sannyas order, and he offered this facility to his disciple known as Sri Madhva Upadhyaya. This Madhva Acharya is the origin of the Ballabha Acharya sect. One of the six Goswamis, Gopalabhata Goswami, who is authority of Vaishnava regulations, was initiated by another Tridandi sannyasi known as Prabhadananda Saraswati. Therefore, this sannyasi order is completely in pursuance of Vaishnava authority. So don't listen to these nonsense Babajis and Siddha Pranalis in Radhakund, because they actually don't know anything except what they concoct in their mind. We follow parampara, and that makes us perfect. Bhakti Siddhanta always knew that what Prabhupada would do they wanted back in the 30s or 40s, they wanted him to be the temple president in Bombay. So they were asking Bhakti Siddhanta, all the important members, saying, why Abhay Babu is living separately? He should be the president of Bombay. I never said, Prabhupada said, but they said, I was living separately. Then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada pleaded in my behalf so many things. He said three words, quote, it is better he is living outside your company. He will do when the time will come. He will do himself everything. You haven't got to recommend him. These were the very words. And sure enough, Prabhupada did everything all by himself. See? So this is a transcendental plan by the Supreme Lord for Prabhupada to do what he did here and in the Western countries. Now, we have to understand, what is the definition of sannyas? So Prabhupada, he gives that definition so everybody knows. Our students, either brahmachari or householder, are being trained up for constant engagement in Krishna consciousness service without any personal interest. This is perfect order of sannyas. So if everyone is trained up in the line of action, all of us are sannyasis in all circumstances. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita that anyone who is not after the result of any action, but simply he acts as a matter of duty for Krishna, he is factual sannyasi and yogi. Yes, as a sannyasi in GBC, your first duty is to read my books. Otherwise, how will you preach? In order to remain steadily fixed in Krishna conscious, there must be sound philosophical understanding. Otherwise, it will become only sentiment. As far as entering a crematorium is concerned, no, we cannot go. That is social system, but we are sannyasis. A sannyasi is in spiritual life, not in social life at all. These are some of the duties of a sannyasi. unless one is in the Paramhansa stage, he is not eligible to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. For Paramahansas or sannyasis in the Vaishnava order, preaching is the first duty. To preach, such sannyasis may accept the symbols of sannyas, such as the danda and the kamandalu, or sometimes they may not. Generally, the Vaishnava sannyasis, being Paramahansas, are automatically called Babajis. You don't have to become a Babaji's and put your loincloth in the dirt to make it look dirty. Because the more dirty you look, the more advanced you are, according to some people. But automatically becoming a Paramahansa, you're already a Babaji. There's no need to try to become a Babaji and appoint yourself as Babaji. There are some people in our movement that have self-appointed themselves as Babajis, just as some people appointed themselves gurus without being qualified to be gurus. So history repeats itself, so we have to be very careful and follow the parampara system so that we are safe on the path of devotional service. Sometimes the Krishna conscious movement sends its representative sannyasis to foreign countries where the danda and the kamadalu are not very much appreciated. We send our preachers in ordinary dress to introduce our books and philosophies. Our only concern is to attract people to Krishna conscious. We may do this in the dress of a sannyasi or in the regular dress of gentlemen. Our only concern is to spread interest in Krishna conscious. Krishna says, Anasriyataha, now you are working so hard, not for your benefit, personal benefit, and that is sannyasi. That is sannyasi. Anashrita karma phalam karyam. Quote, oh, it is my duty to serve Krishna, and he is sannyasi. Anyone who has got this consciousness that it is my duty to serve Krishna, I must serve him with my life and soul and everything, he's a sannyasi, not the dress. So you are doing that. Now fix up, go on doing this. Life is successful, that's all. Ashrita karma phalam karam karoti ya se sannyasi. Find out this verse. Anashrita karma phalam. It is so nice to work for Krishna without any personal profit. This is Vrindavan. The gopis, they sacrifice everything for Krishna, their position, their honor, their prestige. So do like that. I am very glad to see when you work so hard for Krishna. That gives me much pleasure. So this is sannyas. Sannyas is not the dress, but the mentality. That is sannyas. See, Prabhupada's given us the highest knowledge. Anyone can be sannyas if he knows the science of Krishna. So, what does it mean when the sannyasi, we sing the prayer, Jai Om Vishnupad, Astatera Satcha, what does the prayer, why do we accept the numbers 108, Astatera. We say the prayer every day, but we don't know. We say Astatera. 108, no. Someone else? You don't be afraid. Speak your mind. You might be right, you might be wrong. It doesn't matter. We're here to learn. I'm here to learn. I didn't know until I found the quote. So why do we say 108? In fact, I'll send this around. This is the only letterhead. This is an original from 1970, where Prabhupada used that in his name. You can pass it around. Make sure it comes back to me. But you'll see it's the only letterhead where Prabhupada used the word Acharya 108. So why use that 108? He never used that again, only in Los Angeles. So Prabhupada says, the meaning of 108. Srila Jiva Goswami has very nicely described this Vasudeva, or Sudasattva, in his Bhagavat Sandarbha. He explains that Astatera Satta, 108, is added to the name of the spiritual master to indicate one who is situated in Sudasattva, or in the transcendental state of Vasudeva. That's the meaning of 108. So in these old days, we actually, when we would say Jayam Vishnu Paramahansa, we used to add the word 108 in Los Angeles. Because Prabhupada, he designed that letterhead. I didn't design it, he did. You see the building. Why do you think Prabhupada liked that building? Does anyone have any ideas? No, it looked like the White House. That's why he liked it. There's actually three buildings in a. There was one this side, and then this side. And we could easily house 150 devotees, which we did. And then on the other side, we had an ISKCON park, where Prabhupada would sit. You've seen in the video. Prabhupada wanted me to build that park. It was a parking lot for six cars, so we ripped up the asphalt and put very thick grass there, and bushes and flowers, and it was so sinful. Prabhupada would go there in the mornings to take his massages. We called it ISKCON Park. So that's another thing you learned today. For a sannyasi, the more he wanders and preaches, the more he becomes experienced. Actually, Prabhupada told me and Vishnu John and Brahmananda that we could only stay in one place for 3 days and then move on if we stayed at somebody's house. Otherwise, we get attached. We could only stay for 3 days and then move. So the more a sannyasi wanders and preaches, the more he becomes experienced. That's another qualification. Srila Prabhupada explains why sannyasa. So Prabhupada says, if you ask the question me that, Swamiji, why you have taken sannyas? You may ask that question, yes. So I may tell you frankly that I had no desire to accept this sannyas. I never dreamt in my householder. I was householder. I never dreamt. But circumstantially, I was forced to accept the sannyas dress just to become a preacher. You see? That is a long history. Sannyas. And Prabhupada chuckles. But I was forced some way or other to accept the sannyasa. Of course, as far as possible, I am following the rules and regulations of a sannyasi, as far as possible. This is August 1966 in New York. You see, Prabhupada gave us. So, one should become sannyas. He's telling us here, don't become sannyas so people bow down to you and you get the maha plate. You become sannyas to go preaching without any material consideration. That's what happened to us. Prabhupada sent me, Brahmananda, and Vishnujan as the first sannyasis in America. We were written up in the newspaper, four swamis walking cross country. We walked 2,000 miles from Ann Arbor, Michigan, where we made the first devotee, Indradumna Swami. We made him a devotee there. And then we stopped on the way at every university. And we don't know how many devotees were made because we didn't stay more than a few days. And then we ended up for the winter at Coconut Grove, Miami, where we started the temple in the park. We had no money. We had to beg for food. And I wrote Prabhupada a letter. I said, Prabhupada, we started a temple in the park, but it has no walls. We opened the temple underneath the tree because there was an outdoor barbecue and people donated pots, pans, fruits, vegetables, and I used to cook for 300 people every day in the park. And it became a temple. Because I would cook, Subal would help cut, Brahmananda would preach, and Vishnujan would sing. So we had a temple. So Prabhupada wrote back, and he was so happy. He said, I'm very happy you have opened the temple with no walls. This is Goswami style. They also lived under a tree and had their temple and made devotees. So that temple is still there, not in the park. Now they have a property. And then later on, I opened as a sannyasi in Gainesville, and Vishnujan did Houston and Austin, Brahmananda did Tala. In this way, Prabhupada taught us how to become mendicant preachers. We didn't have air tickets. We didn't have money to buy food. You know where we slept? In unlocked parked cars at night. We found near the park unlocked parked cars. And if the cars were locked, we found a construction site. And they had plywood. And they had fixtures like a bathtub and put the plywood on the bathtub and slept on that until the police came and arrested us for vagrancy. Of course, we didn't have the $25, so they let us go. And they knew we were Hare Krishnas. And in this way, we learned how to live like the sannyasis lived in Vrindavan, dependent on Krishna. We didn't even know where we were going to get our food when we were traveling. We came once upon a smorgasbord. You know what a smorgasbord is? Yes, all you can eat. And they had vegetables and other things. So we asked the owner, we haven't eaten in 2 days. Can we eat all the vegetables? Yeah, yes, go ahead. But he got angry because Brahmananda ate everything. There was no vegetables, no salad, no cottage cheese, no bread. Everything was gone. So he says, get out. So, anyway, it was good training for us to live as mendicants. You know, we lived like Prabhupada lived when he first came to America. For 10 months, he was homeless. He had to go from this place to that place, living in the houses of meat eaters. He had to tolerate so many disturbances. So he was also a mendicant. He only had 40 rupees, which he saved. And when he came back in 1967, he used that 40 rupees he brought with him to pay for the taxi from the airport to Delhi when he came back in 67, because he thought he was going to pass his body at that time. That's another story. So, Prabhupada gives a sannyas mantra. It's supposed to be secret, but Prabhupada read it publicly at our sannyas class that he gave. So I'll give the translation. It's a nice translation that everybody can meditate on, not just the sannyasi. Prabhupada says, read the translation, Dayananda translation. It comes from the Bhagavatam. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of darkness of ignorance simply by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda, who gives all kinds of liberations and who was worshipped by many great previous acharyas. That's the sannyas mantra that all sannyasis get. But it's good for everybody. Another thing we should know about sannyas, Prabhupada says, the great authorities in the disciplic succession had not offered to explain why Lord Chaitanya refused to take the name Bharti after he took sannyas from Bharti, until Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj volunteered the explanation that because a sannyasi in the Shankara Sampradaya thinks he has become the supreme, Lord Chaitanya, wanting to avoid such a misconception, kept the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, placing himself as an eternal servitor. A brahmachari is supposed to serve the spiritual master. Therefore, he did not negate the relationship of servitude to his spiritual master. Accepting such a position is favorable for the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. Prabhupada also didn't change his name. He said most Vaishnava sannyasis don't change their names. He kept his name on page on A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, which was his Grihastha name also. So he also did not change his name. Lord Chaitanya, this is a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of a sannyasi in this age of Kali. The so-called sannyasi should not change their former names, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. In this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the holy glories of the Lord is strongly recommended. And one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life need not imitate the Paravikacharya like Narada or Lord Chaitanya, but may sit down at some holy place and devote his whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the holy scriptures left by the great acharyas like the six Goswamis. So Prabhupada, he started his sannyas mainly as a Paramahansa because he sat down and wrote books. Later on, he changed to Paravikacharya, traveling and preaching when he came to America. And Prabhupada, though, when he gave sannyas, he created Paravikacharyas, not Paramahansas. He created people to travel and preach and open centers, especially traveling Sankirtan. So those are called Paravikacharyas. They travel and preach and make devotees. So I'd like to relate to you that Prabhupada says the duty of a sannyasi is to make at least one devotee, one pure devotee. He doesn't say devotee. He says that a sannyasi should make at least one pure devotee who's just like himself. So I want to recount to you how Prabhupada made one pure devotee in 3 days. And it's a memory of Brahmananda. If I can get it to work. That boy, he played around with my computer and made my videos not work. Anyway, we can't see that. That's why I never have a stranger touch your computer. Where is that boy? Is he here? He changed my computer. So Prabhupada, he gave the sannyas doctrine. This is your duty as sannyas, to keep yourself always above suspicion in Krishna consciousness. That's very important. Above suspicion. You see, Prabhupada always had his door open. He would never meet privately with a woman. If a woman came to see him like Jamuna, he would call one of his servants. But he was never alone with a woman, following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see, not that women are less than men, but Prabhupada used the example of fire and butter. Butter has no attraction for fire, and fire has no attraction for butter. But when you mix the two, the butter melts. So in our dealings with females, those who are brahmacharis and sannyasis, they have to look at female devotees as property of Krishna. That's what Prabhupada taught us in L.A. We had 150 devotees, 35 women there. We never had a problem. And because Prabhupada taught us to look at every woman to be enjoyed by Krishna. They're gopis. They're not for your enjoyment. That was stamped in our brains by Prabhupada in Los Angeles. So, of course, we didn't ban marriages. If a woman wanted to be married, then we make arrangement. But the association of men and women in the West is different than in India. The association of men and women in the West is on equal basis practically, whereas in India, you cannot walk up to a woman and talk to her. This was happened to Junior Haridas. He was a sannyasi. He didn't have a sex life, but he was rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he had a private conversation with a woman asking for more sweet rice for Lord Chaitanya. And because of that conversation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Junior Haridas, who committed suicide in Prayag. He went to Prayag, the holy rivers, and jumped in and never saw him again. And Chaitanya accepted that. That's how strict Lord Chaitanya was. So we cannot be that strict, especially in the Western countries. But at least it should be ingrained in our brains that all women are to be treated as Krishna's property and Krishna's gopis. Because actually they are. When you call somebody your wife, you have stolen your wife from Krishna. If Krishna is God, then he owns everything, including your wife. So when you take a wife, you're a thief. Because you stole from Krishna. That's his property to be enjoyed, not your property. So, the feeling of a Vaishnava is all women class are to be enjoyed by Krishna and not ourselves. So therefore, there'll be no friction. You see? There'll be no friction. What time is it now? Okay, so if there's any, we'll stop there. On Sundays, we have Ishtagoshi on various controversial subject matters in Prabhupada's house. You're all invited to give your... we have questions and answers and other things. So you're all invited on Sunday at 5:30. And then next week, we celebrate Prabhupada's arrival in America, and I'll give some history on how that happened. So if there's any questions you can ask about sannyas, women sannyas, nobody has any, everybody understood everything? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the assembled devotees.